I'm Lauren Layfield, and you're listening to Your Next Podcast. This is the podcast that brings you a different series every single week, helping you to find your new favourite show. So today we are listening to single ladies in your area. Comedians, brilliant comedians, Amy Gledhill and Harriet Kemsley have a lot in common, including the fact that they're both single women in their 30s. Now, if you know anyone who is single, you've probably heard that the dating scene in 2024 is an awful place to be. Everyone has basically got a horror story and an app that they hate, you know, marginally less than the other apps. So Amy and Harriet are here to not just provide each other with moral support, but to provide you a guide to being single in this day and age. So they'll be speaking to experts and fellow comedians about dating, red flags, apps, divorce, self-esteem, all of it. And this is the very first episode. So enjoy. This is Single Ladies in Your Area.
Hello, I'm Amy Gledhill.
And I'm Harriet Kemsley.
We're both single and in our 30s.
And we've found ourselves back on the dating scene.
And the landscape has changed.
Everyone has settled down.
But we're back out there.
And we're desperately trying to figure out what the hell we should be doing.
So we're going to speak to experts, chat about dates we've been on.
If we manage to get any.
And share your tips and horror stories.
So we all feel less alone.
We might even get our exes on.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
This is Single Ladies in Your Area.
Oh, hi, Amy. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Hi, Harriet. I'm excited to be here with you.
I'm nervous, though.
Well, there's a lot to be nervous about. There's a lot to be nervous about, Harriet, because we're going to spill it all. We're going to open ourselves up.
Yeah, we're going to share in order to help other people who are in our predicament.
Yeah.
Is that a way to look at it?
Stage of life.
A stage of life, a new opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not frame it negatively.
No.
This could be the start of something wonderful.
Is that from Casablanca?
Yeah, I'm just quoting Casablanca. No, it's just a coincidence. Yeah, I just sound like a film from the 30s. I don't know. But yeah, basically, we wanted to do a podcast because we have both found ourselves staring down the barrel of death, but single.
Single and in our 30s. No.
There's more life to be lived. There's retirement to look forward to. We've got to find somebody for retirement.
We need someone to hunker down with.
Yes, we've got to find someone for the sickness that's imminent.
But also, you know, be just like cool, trendy, fresh young women, living our best lives, thriving.
Yeah, exactly. And we're just looking for somebody to join the ride. If anyone's listening, this could be the first and last episode. So let us know if you want to get on board with either of us. And then we can just stop doing the pod, I guess.
Immediately.
Yeah, that's it.
Immediately. But we want to go on a ride with our listeners.
Yes.
Because we realise that actually we've lived a lot of life.
Mm.
We've done a lot of things. Mm. We've seen a lot of willies, let's be honest with ourselves. But now I'm at a stage of being more nervous and more scared than I've ever been before. Like, there's something different now emerging from a long-term relationship at this age. It's all changed. And I'm frightened.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm a divorced lady. I tried to say that really sophisticatedly.
Very sophisticated.
I was really trying to paint myself as a sophisticated divorced lady, and it's really gone downhill very quickly. But yeah, I got a divorce. It just came through a few months ago, and I thought I was going to be married. But I really did think it was going to be forever. And so now suddenly the landscape has changed so much. There's I never did dating apps. I never did any of that stuff. And now that's how you meet people.
Yeah. But how long were you married for?
I was married for 7 years.
That's
six,
a long
if you
time.
Don't count the divorce that was being processing for the last year. And then, we were together for like just over 10 years.
That's such a huge chunk, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Amy.
it's really taking up my good years.
That's a big chunk of that life of yours. But you have a beautiful daughter to show for
it. I have a beautiful daughter. And so, yeah, it's also, I guess, dating with a daughter because she's given me something I never knew about before called self-esteem. she's taught me before I'd just be like, oh God, I just want someone to like me. And if they liked me, I was like, that's great. Let's go. Let's make that work. Let's not think about it too much. Let's get married. And now I'm like, I really like, I see everyone kind of through her eyes, I guess. And I need to give her a good example of somebody. And I can't just settle for anybody. It's kind of exhausting.
I don't know if that has given you self-esteem. I think it's given you standards.
Oh, okay. That's what I didn't have before. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you have to look back at some of my exes, I had absolutely no standards. Yeah.
But I don't know if it's given you personally self-esteem, because I feel like you're saying, like, I see it through her, like, you're not going, do you know what, now I'm a mother, I really respect myself and my time, my body. No, you're kind of like, I don't want them to fuck it up for her. I'm still kind of fine to be fucked with.
I still have no self-esteem, but my two-year-old is absolutely low, so we've really got to bring somebody that's going to be good enough for her, because her standards are high, let me tell you.
Do you ever think, maybe this is too weird, I'm not a mother, so maybe this is mad, but do you ever think when you're looking for potential dates or things, do you think about what you'd want your, like, the sort of person you'd want your daughter to end up with? And you ever, like...
That's exactly it. I think that's one of the reasons why we ended the marriage, was like, oh, this she can't grow up and think this is good, because then she's just going to end up doing this again. And then it's just going to continue forever. It's like, someone has to stop this.
Stop the cycle.
Please, let's stop the cycle. So we stop the cycle. And I absolutely can't just start another cycle.
Yeah.
Because we could just be going from cycle to cycle.
I'm in a spinning class right now.
We gotta stop. I'm dizzy.
Yeah.
We gotta stop. So I think that's kind of it. How long were you with your partner for?
Well, before that, I just want to say it's amazing that you have stopped the cycle. And I think for someone to come out of a marriage or a relationship after 10 years when they've got a kid together, I think it's so brave. And I think you've done a great thing.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Thank
you. No shade on, I mean, a bit of shade, but no shade,
no shade on anyone that's still with her. But yeah.
But, you know, I think it's like, because I think you get stuck in something that, even if it's bad and you know it's bad, you're kind of like, it's familiar and it's comfy. Yeah. And maybe I could do better. Maybe I could have a nicer life. But also, maybe I couldn't, because I've got no self-esteem because I've been in this horrible thing.
That's it. And it's so hard to know, like, when you should leave. Like, I was literally Googling, like, what is love? Oh. What is a relationship? When should you leave a marriage? What is marriage? And all the response was like, marriage is terrible. It's awful. You just accept that. You get on with it. And I was like, surely, I don't know. I feel like it should be good. And I think it is particularly bad when you at the beginning of having a child, like, it can really bring people together. But also there's a lot of pressure suddenly. But I think this was just something that had been going on for a long time. We were quite codependent. And we were just in this, we'll call it the cycle, which was not healthy or good for her. And so I had to separate myself from it. But yeah, it's really hard to know when to leave. And it feels very scary when, especially when everyone around you has settled down and they're in relationships. And then suddenly you're like, oh, hey guys. And they're like, oh, we're actually just really happy being on the sofa, you know, with our partner. And suddenly you're the only single one at things. And
come on, 30-year-old women, you want to go clubbing tonight? No, I don't. It sounds awful. We are so glad we left that behind at 21. We haven't done that for 15, 16 years. Just because you've gone through a breakup, it doesn't mean we want to do that.
Yeah, maybe we'll take it in shifts. Like, one of you will come with you 1 month, the other will come with the other one, but we're not going to enjoy it. We'll literally be there and be like, what about, why don't you go talk to them? Go and talk to them, then we can get home a bit early, maybe.
Roses are red, violets are blue. We've matched on an app. What you up to? Ugh. So I'm in a WhatsApp group with you.
It was called Fingered by Pancake Day, but then there's a few in the group, maybe there's like nine now, and only one did manage to get Fingered by Pancake Day. So then we had to change it to, was it Fingered by Father's Day. Yes.
And I think that's passed.
That has passed now.
But so me and Harriet are both comedians, and we're in a WhatsApp group of other all female, but all comedians. and we tried to do like events and stuff to try and cheer each other on. And the last event that we went to was a cowboy themed rodeo night.
It's hard to think of the words to describe it. I will say yes, yeah, that's what we, yeah, a cowboy themed rodeo night. We thought that's where we're going to find the loves of our lives.
Yeah. But it was like a club. I didn't expect the sort of the club element of it as much. Like it was packed,
loud.
There's a DJ on some decks on a balcony, and he's got a cowboy hat on, and he's absolutely throwing some shapes. And I went late. In fact, I think I missed you.
I had to go to a show, so I just popped in, tried to find a cowboy, and then had to go work.
Yeah, there were no cowboys. There was just a lot of sort of looked like men who worked in accounting.
Yes,
who
were doing wearing a check shirt,
doing some sort of cultural appropriation and falling off a rodeo. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But with the other women that were there, three of them didn't take their coats off. I don't think anyone was drinking.
Clutching our bags, yeah.
We booked
didn't
a table.
Feel safe to leave them anywhere.
Specifically so we could sit down. And it was like, oh, I don't think this is the way we're going to find them.
That's not the way. We went to one before you joined the group.
Yeah.
And we went to one before Christmas, which was a tech party. And then we were like, oh, let's go find a man in tech. You know, that felt like something you do.
Yeah.
And so we went to this this party, and then nobody had any luck. And we just ended up being the only ones on the dance floor, like dancing in a way that I would say repelled men. Nobody approached. Like humping across the dance floor, and we did have a lovely time, but it really nobody wanted to approach. Too scary, I think, and unhinged. Maybe
I think the humping probably.
Yeah. Just wanted to show them what they could get.
I can imagine going across the dance floor, like, you know, when a dog's got worms and it's got its legs up and it's dragging its bum across the floor. You're like, come on, man. Why are you not approaching?
Anyone want to worm me?
Oh, so that's not the way we're going to find them.
No. It turns out in real life, it's very hard to meet people. Because I thought, I don't know, you still kind of in your head in a relationship, you think you might leave. You're like, oh, but maybe, you know, I'll be walking down the street and then somebody would be like, hey, pretty lady. Yeah. But then if you turn around, like, you are like, oh, no, that person's like unwell, maybe. They also really need a shower.
Yeah.
And they're going to steal my phone.
Hey there, pretty lady. Yeah. Give me a phone. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
I was hoping to say phone number, but he stopped.
He stopped too soon. So it seems like apps are the way, I guess. Yeah. Neither of us had done that before.
No.
They came in just after I was in my relationship.
So my last relationship was like 4 years, but then right before that was in a relationship for 4 years. And right before that actually was in a relationship for 4 years.
Oh, it seems like there might be a pattern here. I'm not sure what the...
How you about that?
Just like to get through an Olympics season.
Well, the Euros have rolled back round. Time to bin this one off.
Puts on her England shirt and she gets back out there.
Do you know, my first crush was Michael Owen. Maybe every 4 years I'm like, this is the year I get Michael Owen. But I think he's sort of like a boring Tory
I
now,
think so.
Maybe.
Do you know, when I was eight, I really liked Alan Shearer.
Did you? When you were eight, how old was he? About 45.
I think he's always been about 45.
He's always been about 45.
He's always been about 45. Yeah. But just thought he seemed like such a nice man.
Well, maybe this is what we go for. Maybe
yes, time to find our Alan Shearer and Michael Owens,
our photo boys.
Yes. Yeah. So, did you find it scary leaving the relationship?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And you never really know if you're making the right decision. That's the scary thing, because you do think, well, what if I'm thinking the grass is greener?
There are ways. Like, I think if you listen to your body is trying to tell you something, maybe, and you have to just kind of really, because I just couldn't work it out. I just didn't know what was right. And I was like, we're married, you have to work at it. You have to, it's hard and it's difficult, but then you have to really kind of learn to get in tune with your body to work out what the answer is.
I think our brains are so much smarter than we are. And I think our gut and our brain together must be like, this fucking idiot. Like, what more can we do? Like, we don't know how to give you more signals. Yeah. Listen to us. Like, I realized before we even went on a break or anything, I had moved out and got my own flat on my own, but we're still sort of like, I think it's going pretty well. Like, I don't think there's any problems. And it's like, oh, I really like being here on my own.
Yeah.
I get it, brain and gut. I get this tricky little game you've been playing. But I was in such a privileged position that I could do that.
That's
because,
it, yeah.
I mean, a few years before, there's no way I could do it. And probably in a few years' time, I wouldn't be able to do it. But what I did was just weigh up if it was, like, better to be on my own. And I think it was. Yeah. I think for both of us, yeah, I think it was I think being on your... And look, this podcast may be about dating, but it's also about how you are single and how you, like, can fill your life in a positive way that way. It's about coming out of a relationship and what the landscape is.
And I think it's about just making life not about the relationship, maybe. Like, I think I definitely, the beginning of the relationship, made my whole life the relationship.
But if you're in a relationship and... particularly these days, sharing a mortgage, sharing the rent. God, I mean, how do you even leave relationships when you financially codependent? Because you have to be.
That's it. And I think that, I'm very lucky now that I was able to do it and that we've managed to work it out. Like, I think I did many things in my 20s where, like, I moved into what essentially I think we could call a squat legally and... Just looking at it, basically you could call it a squat. But it meant that I could leave my my day job and I could start doing stand-up full-time because it was like £200 a month. Like, it was crazy.
Wow,
it was
London.
Crazy in London because the standard of living was so low. I was just like wading through men's piss every morning in my bare feet. It was just, it was really bleak. And I blocked out a lot of that time mentally, I think, because it was just so unpleasant. But I was like, oh, this is what you have to do. And then actually it's like, actually, no, maybe it's better if you don't do that and you stay in the day job a little bit more and you have the self-respect and you have a living space. That
this is where self-esteem comes right back.
Yes. We're really learning as we go. Amy, we've got to get out there. I remember, like, before I met my ex, I just really wanted to go on holiday with a boy. And, like, it felt like all these things. And even getting married, it just felt like, oh, that's something you have to do. And then you're, like, a person that somebody likes. And, like, that's a sign that, like, you're somebody that someone wants. And that means that you're worth something. And now, like, I can just go on holiday on my own, you know? Like, and that's...
amazing.
That's great. Amazing. That's great. Yeah. And I could have then, but I just felt like I needed the validation, I guess.
Of course. Yeah, of course. I remember, like, this is so weird, but I remember probably for seeing my parents doing it and my mum doing this with my dad, I remember really, really wanting to do a boy's washing.
Oh, poor young Amy. So naive.
I really wanted that.
Yeah.
I would take great pleasure in, like, I've washed your clothes and I've dried them. Like, what? I wanted to do that so much. Like, I felt like that meant I was, like, an adult.
Yeah.
And it's obviously just, like, copying my mum doing that for my dad and all my brother, like, seeing my mum doing laundry. And it's like, right, so if you're an adult, you do laundry. And I felt like it made us really close because I was washing his underpants. He trusted me. Like, how low is my self-esteem to, like, thank you, kind sir, for trusting me with your skiddy underpants. I am honoured. It is a privilege, my liege.
I think as well, you think you're doing these things and they're going to be so grateful.
Yeah,
but they get so used, they don't, I think so many of them just, it doesn't even register.
Yeah.
You think you're doing this stuff.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, wow, this is, this woman is just excellent. But they're like, yeah, of course. That's just what she does. Of course she does. She loves it.
Oh, she does that. She loves it. Right. Yeah. I'll never think about that as being a chore ever again. Yeah. That's her hobby, I guess.
I have football, I have my own interests, and I guess her interest is making my boxes clean. Yeah.
Scraping the shit out of the back of my undies. We've all got hobbies. Yes, I remember really wanting to do that. And I remember when I was very young, when I was like I must have been like 21, 22. And this was in the north, so it is a bit different. But I got a mortgage with a boy because the house was probably about 15 grand and his mum put down the deposit, but we had this mortgage and it was in just outside of Leeds in a really rough area. But I was like so like overwhelmed that this house was ours.
Yeah.
And so every day I went mad cleaning. Like it was my pride and joy to, I don't feel like this now. It was my pride and joy to clean this shitty house, you know, and my favourite bit was shake and vac, which I don't think anyone's used since the 1960s.
No, I'm just thinking of the crisps. You know, the ones where you shake the salt and shake. I'm thinking something different. Yeah.
But it's not that dissimilar. Shake and vac is like this horrific perfumed sort of salt that you put on your carpet and you vacuum it in it and it smells nice. And I was doing this. And obviously he couldn't care, like he couldn't care less. And then I freaked out. When I was about a year in, being like, oh God, I've got this mortgage. I'm with this boy, lovely boy. But I was just like, well, my life's over and I haven't done anything yet. I haven't traveled. I haven't done anything. So I sort of panicked and we broke up. And then when I went back to visit the house, oh my God, it was a squat. Yeah. There was, I kid you not, there were snakes loose in the house.
What?
Honestly.
That's not a squat, that's a zoo.
It was a zoo. He turned it into a zoo. There were snakes. Because I said, can I stay there one night? And he said, yeah. And he gave me the keys and he said, I won't be back. And I went
in. Snakes will be in?
I didn't know there were snakes. And because I knew the place and I knew where the spare room was, I went up in the dark. The place smelled so bad as well. And it was grim. And this is the place I'd like, I've never polished in 15 years, but at the time I was polishing. And I went up into the spare room and like just went to sleep in the dark. And then the next day he was like, did the snakes bother you? And I was like, the what? And he's like, well, they're sort of about and they're usually in the spare room. So if anything has brushed past my leg.
He didn't give you a heads up that there were loose snakes.
No.
You were cleaning the whole place for him and he couldn't even bring himself to be like, oh, just a text. By the way, Amy, there are snakes.
There are snakes now. But there was like several men living there, all in different, one in the living room. The living room was no longer a living room. It was a bedroom for a man. There was just men everywhere and all the furniture was broken and there were snakes.
And I bet his level of happiness was the same. It's like they look around and they're like,
he wouldn't have noticed anything had changed. He'd be like, this is exactly how it was when you left it.
There were snakes before, weren't there?
Were there not snakes here before? Why don't you say? I would love snakes. I thought we always had snakes.
But do you think it's like a trap? It's like we think that that's what love is and that's what women aim towards. And so you think that's what you want. And then actually what you want is just like peace and space. And
peace is a big one,
not,
isn't it?
Not working for somebody else. Like you're kind of conditioned and taught that that's what you should do.
Yeah. Oh, peace. Oh, let's just take a second to think about peace. Isn't peace great?
I'm so peaceful right now.
I'm peaceful too. Yeah. It's so nice.
There's absolutely no snakes in my house.
There's very little snakes in mine.
We can't guarantee there's none.
We can't see there's none. But we are looking to get back on the dating game.
Yeah.
Whilst being content and whole in ourselves.
Yeah.
We are looking to see what's out there.
We're going to set you up an app.
Yes. I'm going to get on Hinge. I'm going to do it.
Get ready, boys.
Lock up your elderly relatives. Because I'm on the prowl. But I can't do it on my own. So with your help, we're going to find some advice online and we're going to set up my very first dating profile. And I'm excited about it. But Harriet, I am very nervous. But maybe there's listeners out there who are thinking, well, I'm scared too and I want to do it. And
it's really scary, but I think it's nice to do it in like a group. And that's what's been really nice about our group, Finger by Pancake Day. It's nice to do it like together because you feel so alone with it. And then it's just like, it's just you in this pool with all these boys or, you know, like, I mean, this is particularly like for straight people, but like it is worse, I think, if you're just in a pool with boys. So I think it's nice to do it together. And so every week we're going to share something that we're scared of when it comes to dating to try and figure it all out and just to try and feel less alone.
Yes. Oh my God. And if people have already got dating profiles and they're not sure if they're very effective, maybe next episode we'll have some tips for them too.
Yes, that's what we're going to do. We're going to speak to experts and we're just going to kind of cover the whole thing. I feel like, no offense, but we're just two absolute morons. So we're really going to get into the basic information for people that do want to find love. Like, we're not in a rush. Like, we're not desperate, anybody.
Stop saying we're so desperate.
We're not desperate. But we want to find, like, our soulmates, I guess. And, like, it might take a decade. It might take 20 years. But you just want to have the information so you go in, you know.
I thought one was going to be a lesson of that. Sorry, it might take a decade. I thought she's going to say week. She's going to say month. Might take 2 decades. All right, okay.
Ideally, it would just take a few weeks and you'll get on that app and it'll be over.
First match, done. Thank God. End the podcast. But if that doesn't happen,
yes,
I think we've got quite a journey to go on.
We've got a journey to go on. And I think, you just want to learn everything and just make it not so lonely and so painful and so just like, I don't know what I'm doing in this new landscape. So we're going to talk about first dates. We're going to learn how to flirt. We're going to talk about ghosting and like age difference. We're going to look into love spells.
Yeah.
Because if we can't get them the natural way, we're going to try and...
The supernatural way.
The supernatural way.
I'm really excited.
I'm really excited too. It's so nice to have a buddy in this. I'm excited.
And this desolate landscape.
It's great, isn't it? And if you like that, you can get so much more of it right now by searching for Single Ladies in Your Area, wherever you're listening to this. But before you go, don't forget to follow Your Next Podcast right here so you don't miss out on all of the great podcasts that I have got coming up for you. Plus, you can also find all my recommendations along with news, reviews and loads more on Podcast Rex at www.podcastrex.com. That's www.podcastrex.com.